I was watching an article about another mom who they've adopted a child from Nigeria. I was watching it last night on the news. And all the adoption is finished. And yet there's a hold up with the Canadian government. And I can't imagine what they're going through right now. So they've got a child that is legally theirs in Africa. And they can't bring them home. And so they're faced with a dilemma. One parent is traveling back and forth between here and Africa and staying with him because he's their kid, right? And one parent's back here. And they didn't say it, but boy, that lady sounded like she was a born-again believer in the interview. She wasn't laying blame other than that. The bureaucracy of the Canadian government. Boy, this has absolutely nothing to do with my sermon today. But this does. And I think I've shared this with you before. But it illustrates the point I want to make. A couple of years after we were married, I worked in a fairly high-end camera store. We sold the kind of equipment that only really serious photographers were interested in. And not long after I started in the store, there was a short man. He came in. He was the kind of fellow that, more or less, he strutted when he came in. He had the demeanor that he had places to go and things to do, so you better stay out of his way because he meant business. Kind of a no-nonsense kind of guy. He recognized me this one day. He came into the store. He recognized me as the new guy behind the counter. And so he immediately marched over to the counter. He stuck out his hand and he says, "Hello there. My name is Bunny Stotesbury. That's my name. It's the most personal thing I've got. Don't ever forget it. What's yours?" And I never forgot it. It's kind of hard to forget somebody by the name of Bunny anyway. And oddly enough, as I was sitting in the office preparing this morning, I thought, I wonder what if I Googled his name, what would come up? And there he was. And I found out that he was the president of the American Society of Heating, Refrigeration, and Air Conditioning Engineers in Ottawa in 1952-53. Bunny Stotesbury, who would have guessed? Our names are the most personal things we own. In ancient times, a name was more than just a way of identifying you. It was a description of you or a description of your family. It signified a characteristic, and sometimes you were identified with that characteristic or with your father's characteristic. That's why we read that James and John were called sons of thunder. See, if they had been really loud themselves, they would have been known as fathers of thunder. But no, they were known as the sons of thunder. So I expect their dad was kind of loud. Last week we read, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Now, as a side note, I think it's worthy noting the punctuation in this sentence. Some versions don't have a comma after wonderful. He will be called wonderful. Some versions it would read wonderful counselor. So I started to check. And I'm, to be honest with you, I'm not absolutely certain which is right. However, the Orthodox Jewish Bible identifies five different names of the Messiah: Wonderful, Counselor, and so on. So I'm going to stick with the five names of the Promised One this morning. Each having an individual identification, each having an identification of his characteristics. Wonderful. He's awesome. He's the awesome one, the one who one day we will stand in his presence awestruck. You know, and when we consider the majesty of the mountains or the beauty of a lakeshore or the amazement of holding a newborn baby, those are all amazing. But none will compare to the wonder of Jesus, the God in the flesh miracle worker. He's wonderful. And next, he's the Counselor. He advises us of all things, right, and what's right and what's best. Human counselors are great. They help us. They help us see and envision reality in new and fresh ways. But this Counselor directs us into the life that God intends for us to live. Not religiously, but life in its purity, life in its completeness. Life that if we do well, we will live it as he directs. He's the Counselor. And then he's the Mighty God. He is the Divine One. He is very God of very God. The name affirms that he and the Father are one, as Jesus claimed. One in the flesh, creator, master of all things. And yet, he is relational to us. And because he's relational to us, we can know the Father as well. He's the Mighty God. He is the Everlasting Father. From eternity past to eternity future. Without age, without time. He's the provider, the sustainer, the protector, the disciplinarian of his children. But as the song says, you're a good, good father. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. That's who he is. And in every circumstance, he wants the very best for us. He is the Everlasting Father who was and is and evermore shall be. And then Isaiah says that he's the Prince of Peace. He's the author of the one thing that's so greatly missing in our society and among us today. He's the individual who changes lives, who brings a settling. And the reality is wherever Christ is absent, peace is absent. It doesn't get a whole lot plainer than that. He's the Prince of Peace. And this morning, I want to talk a little bit about his peace. That thing that eludes so many. So I'm going to go back to the scripture in Luke. Look at the Christmas story that we are so familiar with one more time. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." And you know, when the angels came before the shepherds and they laid this out, they knew exactly who they were talking about. There was no second guessing. "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The characteristic of the promised one, the Prince of Peace. You know, wherever we turn today, there's a restlessness, there's the threat of war everywhere. The entire world is it seems like it's waiting to erupt in battle of one description or another. And the reality is, throughout history, we have never known a time of peace. When Isaiah wrote that prophecy, the nation of Israel was on the brink of destruction. Babylon, the Babylonian Empire, was ready to step in and destroy and enslave Israel. To destroy all the towns, all the villages, to conquer it. A few verses earlier in the prophecy, Isaiah wrote, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They have dwelt in the land of the shadow of death. Upon them hath the light shined." Where's the light? What's the light? What can they expect? Where's it coming from? And then Isaiah continues on down a few verses. "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Prince of Peace." You see, Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world." Where's the light? He said, "Look at me, I'm the light of the world." I talked about that last week when the temple was aglow. And Jesus looked at the temple and he said, "I am the light of the world. It's me." The people walked in darkness. They have seen a great light. And Jesus said, "It's me." You see, the word that Isaiah wrote about was shalom. And that's a word that's used every day in Israel. Even now, when you meet someone, you don't say, "Hi, how are you doing? Hello," or anything like that. It's shalom. And it's to bless someone with peace. But its meaning is actually greater than that. Shalom has a greater depth. It's more than just simply to be without war. Or the absence of fear. It's to be content. To be at peace within yourself. In your being. And isn't that the one thing that we're all looking for? To find that place of contentment. To find that place of settled rest. Oh, and you know, Christmas is just about the opposite to all of that. We busy ourselves with so much that we miss the shalom of God. The psalmist wrote, "The Lord will bless his people with peace." On that first Christmas Eve, that promise was fulfilled. It was the promise for all. You know, I love the way God works. God does not do things the way we would do it, does he? He never does. He revealed a taste of his glory, the splendor of heaven, to a bunch of shepherds. Now, you know, we sing, "Well, shepherds watched," and all those songs, and, you know, we kind of get misty-eyed and think, "Well, that's, you know, so romantic," and all the rest. But, well, who were these shepherds? Who were these guys that were actually just staying up at night trying to fight sleep and stay warm? I mean, this is who God reveals himself to. Like, they weren't expecting this. They weren't looking for it. And according to the society of the day, shepherds were not very high on the social scale. Working in the fields with a bunch of sheep, they were ceremonially unclean all the time. I mean, you can't follow a bunch of sheep and not get stuff on your boots. I'm sorry, it just happens. They were ceremonially unclean. There was a prejudice against them. They were looked down on. You know, you really did not want your daughter marrying a shepherd. Like, that's just the way it was. Are you kidding me? Go find a nice other Jewish boy. Come on. Not a shepherd. But this is who God chose to reveal the birth of his son to. The lowest in society, not the religious, not the powerful, not the wealthy, not the ones that could throw the biggest party. No, he revealed himself to a bunch of shepherds. You see, in God's economy, we're all equal. He doesn't see our status. He doesn't see our suit jackets or our bank account. No, we're all equal. The royalty and the poverty, we're one. And so very often, it's the humble that God chooses to reveal himself to. Those who society says are the least. And you know, sometimes I think God must kind of have a little smirk on his face. Play with me for a minute here. He must have a little smirk on his face and he says, watch this. Look at who I'm going to anoint. Look at who I'm going to empower. Look at who I'm going to bless. Look at who I'm going to show myself to. No, it's not the ones we expect. In 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. See, that's God's economy. That's the way he sees us. And so God worked through shepherds to proclaim the Prince of Peace. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. And then the angel sang, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Shalom. Shalom. That peace, that contentment that's ours because we know him. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Can you imagine living in a world where there is no fear? To know God is to not know fear. He gives us peace. He gives us contentment. And you know, when we have that peace and when we know that contentment, that inner satisfaction, what reason is there for war? What reason is there for hostilities? I have all that I need. I have all that I need. I have the Prince of Peace. And there is no other source of lasting peace. No other source. It isn't political. It isn't simply the absence of war. It isn't because of domination or a treaty that's been signed. It's a lasting peace that's found in the heart. And it's only in Christ. Nowhere else. It's the redemption of that which was lost. I once was lost and now I'm found. That's the peace of Christ. It's the thing that the world needs more than anything else. You see, the angel told to Joseph, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And in the thick of life, in the reality of life, in the things that just seem to close in on us, those times when there's nowhere to turn, Jesus comes to us and he offers us shalom. He offers us salvation. It's God's rescue plan. And there's no other. It's that heart contentment. It's God's gift. His Christmas gift to us. But his Christmas gift to us is available 24/7, 365 and a quarter days a year. Paul wrote in Ephesians 2, for he himself is our peace. The peace of God is God. He himself is our peace. Now just grapple with that for a minute. God is our peace. Christ is our peace. Either we know him and have his peace, or we don't know him and there is no peace. It's that simple. Emmanuel. Emmanuel. God with us. Nowhere else do we find peace but in him. Let's just pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you for Christmas. I thank you that we can celebrate your death, your birth, and your death. Oh God, we will never understand your love for us. Father, as we come together at Christmas, Lord, help us to see the greater picture. Lord, that you truly are our peace. You are our source of contentment. You are the one who gives us soul satisfaction when the whole world seems to be restless. And Lord, I just pray that you will bless each one here today. Lord, that they might know you in amazing ways. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.